How's it going out there? Welcome back. Welcome back to the Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey. Yay! Hey, hey, hey. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hey, guys.
If and you're gals.
And gals. All across the whole entire universe. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here. Anyone who listens to this show, I find you all very, very, very special. And
attractive.
And attractive. You're all beautiful. Only the people who listen to this show. Everyone else is just hideous. Hideous fools, especially Scarlett Johansson.
Wait, no, how is she a hideous
I don't know,
fool?
I'm just joking.
You're just calling her out of the whole universe?
Until she listens to this show, and then she comments, and then, you know, that's how you get press. And that's how you get press. Negative press. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going good. Joe, I just want to point out, speaking of looking fabulous, you are having an extremely good hair day today. I know this is a radio format.
That's
but
right.
All of you at home, just picture having a really good hair day.
Well, it was weird. I guess I don't know if I can.
How did this come about?
I don't know if I'm supposed to agree or disagree or what. I just, you know, I'm when I first gelled my hair today, and gel has been one thing ever since I got a haircut because I had extremely long hair. Like, when was it? Like, probably in the middle of December. Everyone was like, oh, you have the long... I thought I had the longest hair that I've ever had in years. It was all the way down my face. It was all the way... It was down my back. I didn't know
down
until...
Down your back?
Yeah, it really was, like, in the back. And I didn't really realize, like, how, I guess, epic this hair was. It was just one of those things, like, where
I just kept growing and growing.
I was just like, whatever, I'll just keep... I just never had a chance to cut my hair, specifically because, also, I have to, because my hair cutter retired, so I had to basically go to her place where she has her own setup and get it cut. And it's not as convenient, but I don't really feel like going and finding someone else to cut my hair, if that makes any sense.
Makes sense, but then I'm also
I'm loyal. I stick with them, you know?
That's good. But, you know, at the same time, I feel like you have more of some type of, like, hair... You're more complicated with your hair issues than I am.
Which is weird. I don't even know where that comes from.
Because you're a guy and I'm a gal, and that's why it's weird.
Usually girls really stick. They have their own process, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have all their types of hairstyles. But basically, like, a year, like, a couple months ago, or in last December, yeah, I got my hair cut. I got it pretty freaking short. Cooney was there. I documented it. It was all, there was all
so
on
was
the floor.
He was there to watch it.
Yeah.
At your hairdresser's
Yeah, but he
house.
Was really just, you know, he was just playing it cool like he usually does. And just he was staring at the ground. He didn't know how special the moment was. It was lost to him. Because he's seen me with short hair, so I guess he's already been through that whole entire cycle. But to a lot of people, like, my hair was, like, super long. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to cut it. And they're like, you're never going to cut it, you know. And I was going to be one of those guys where I had it in a ponytail. Even during the photo shoot today with Karen Michelle, like, I had my hair like how it is now. She thought it was just in a ponytail.
What?
But it wasn't in a ponytail.
Did she look behind you?
I have no clue. Well, she had other things that she was focusing on, too. But yeah, so I got my hair cut. It was no big thing for me because it was planned, but all of a sudden, a lot of people, I guess maybe new people, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. Holy crap. And I was like, in my head, I was just like, isn't this like as short as I did like a year ago? And it felt like some people forgot that I usually, you know, but I guess it's been such a long time. It was pretty
super
long.
How do you explain like today's brilliance of your hair?
I have no idea.
Because you've had it cut for about a month or so. But I'm just telling you, I don't know what it is specifically, but today you have an extremely good haircut.
I don't
hair
know,
day.
I don't really know why today is possibly good.
Now, do you agree with me though?
Or? When I was going in, when I first set up my hair like this afternoon before I went to work, I sort of just... there's no sort of science to what I do with my haircut, because now my haircut, it used to be just like, oh, we're going to have it short on the sides and we'll just do the sideburns. But now it's sort of a modification of like, it is sort of an undercut, but it's not. It's
but
like,
did you do anything differently today?
Today? No, I just...
just happened to be coming out good.
Well, it's also
it's
just...
a natural thing.
Not only that, but it's been through... I haven't done anything to my hair, but it's been through a shoot. And also, I thought when I first made my hair today, I thought it looked pretty crappy because I didn't get it the way I usually have it. You know, like usually it's, you know, I have it more, it was more of a point or something like that. It's weird how to describe what I'm doing, but it's close to a messy greaser look that I usually have it contained to. But today I felt like I couldn't get what I really wanted out of it. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll have to deal with this. And I guess throughout the day, it starts to, you know, drop. It starts to move on its own with its own confines. So what you saw today was just sort of because it's been through the rain 3 times.
Like, it does kind of have a tossed look to it.
It does have a tossed look,
like,
because...
But it's a distinctive tossed look to it, if that makes any sense. Like, such as I must reference, even though I have never read the books nor seen the movies, but it has, like, an Edward look to it.
Yeah, I guess that's really what happens, because really what I do in the morning, or whenever before, is I just take lots of gel... And the main thing that I do is I just take, you know, I don't know, like maybe it might be like 2 teaspoons. I don't really know how best to describe how much gel. I just put a whole clump of gel in my hands, and then I just literally, I don't put it on the top. I just smother it on the sides and just push it down. And then I slightly put the top. So it's sort of like it's really gelled down on the sides, because I've always wanted sort of, I'm still trying to pull that Joe Strummer look.
I think you have more of a process than some women.
Well, I just do it real fast, because I realized this, like, because today, usually I like it when I do it real fast, but today, like, I didn't get it right the first time. So I was like, fuck, now I got to modify it. And then the more I did, the more it didn't turn out the way I liked it to. And then,
it's like a tossed elegance. Like it's hard to really describe men's hair, but like sometimes
I wanted it to look like Joe Strummer's hair, because his hair I thought was awesome. Like when his has sort of that rockabilly thing. I didn't want to totally pull a rockabilly, but I like the angle that it does.
Yeah,
and as opposed to like, because before when I just had long hair, it was just like it's sort of just like now I look I define one as a samurai look, and the other one is like more like a greaser rockabilly. Like swag to it, I guess. I don't know.
Or like an Elvis style.
Yeah, but I can't see do that because his hair is wavy. So I gotta do the best I can.
Elvis's hair is not always wavy, because there's sometimes when like for example, you have that look. You're saying you've already been through a shoot. You've been in the rain 3 times and stuff like that. Like Elvis, there's some pictures of him like right after he gets off playing a show or as he's on the stage, where his hair looks a little bit tossed.
Not only that, but I did actually toss my hair. Like because after the shoot, Karen had to buy cigarettes. Went to the tobacco, whatever, where they sell all that
tobacco
stuff.
Tobacco factory.
Not tobacco, but like some sort of tobacco store. And I was like, oh, I guess.
Wait, she actually went to a tobacco store, not like even a 7-Eleven.
No, she went to a tobacco store to get specific. And she was supposed to quit smoking by this time, but she gave up.
A tobacco store.
But basically, at that time, I literally went and I was like, all right, I guess the day's over. I don't have to have my hair so solid back, and I just went and like I went whoosh whoosh whoosh. So. But the gel is pretty strong. You've even seen me buy gel. You're there where it's like, why don't we just get this one? It's like, no, I need the specific like 5-star strong gel that I usually get.
It's like extra hold.
Yeah.
And it can withstand like, didn't it also at one point you were going through a different gel phase like maybe 3 years ago, and we were doing the 24-hour comic book day?
Yeah.
So we were in the comic book store for a full day without showering or anything.
Yeah.
And your hair like was just staying the same.
Yeah, that was literally, I remember I had a shoot where like I even tweeted this. I was like, man, this hair gel's lasted two days. I was like, this is the best hair gel
48
ever.
48-hour hair gel.
Yeah, I was like, this is great. It really does, just if you don't really mess with it and you let the cold, it just holds. And I was really happy about that. And for just something different about the way that this cut was, and also I'm keeping it. Because I remember you used to joke that, like, yeah, before when you cut your hair, you're usually just a greaser for, like, two weeks or something. But I've maintained this when the hair has even gotten longer, and I felt like it's even better when it's gotten longer, because then I can put it in weird-ass shapes.
Well, I just think it's also interesting that before we started recording this show a few minutes ago, Like, I was like, oh, Joe, you're having gray hair day and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, well, we need to document this. Like, let's take a picture and stuff. So you took the camera and start, like, posing with me. And then, like, you know, like, I'm just sitting in a chair. And then you made a comment of, like, this looks like a Make-A-Wish picture.
Because that's really how, not to be like, oh, I'm a superstar and I'm doing that like that. But the perspective was just, like, because the how we're posed was, like, every time I see a John Cena one, there's always some kid who's always sitting down because he can't stand up.
They're sick.
Yeah, and he like leans in. He's like, "Hey, you know, that's because your shot was just you sitting down, and I'm still standing, leaning in." And I was like, "All right, the Make-A-Wish pose."
So that's what we will be calling the Make-A-Wish pose.
Make-A-Wish is whenever.
Like, oh, I want to do a picture with Joe when he has the best hair day ever.
Or the Make-A-Wish pose, I feel like now is whenever someone has to pose with someone who's sitting in a chair and he has to like, you have to like lean in. That's the Make-A-Wish pose from now on when the other person's incapable of standing up to them. Not to say that you weren't capable, but you're already ready for the radio show. And I was like, no, because you got to capture these hair moments because, you know, more than likely, you'll never get it back the way it was before.
You know what? I like my hair does this about once every 3 or 4 months on its own. It will, like, I'll just, you know, get out of bath or shower and my hair is wet. And then in the front where my bang is, it'll start to do a Razor Ramon curl on its own. And I'm always like, oh my gosh, yes, a Razor Ramon curl. I don't know how that happens, but it's like completely natural.
I don't know. That's why you have curls. Curls-studio.com. That's what it's named after.
That is. It is named after.
It's always interesting when people, they ask you that, they're like, oh, so that must mean you have a lot, because a lot of girls would come up to you and they'd have like a lot of curls. While you have curls, but they're like spontaneous curls. Like the Razor Ramon curl. You're like, oh, that, because that, it was a full on twirl.
And that only happens like 3 or 4 times a year, though.
But it doesn't mean that you don't have it. But I also feel like that's where it all comes from, too.
Yeah, I mean, if I have a curling iron, I can make that on my own. Do you think Razor Ramon like does that on his own?
Yeah, he does.
With a curling iron?
No, but he like his.
Or he like twirls it with his finger and holds it for a while.
Like Scott Hall like modified that throughout the years. Like usually he had like, because he was rocking a mullet at that time. He had like a hardcore mullet.
Can you imagine that hairstyle? Though? Just think about the hairstyle of Razor Ramon Scott Hall. It's like, it's a, it was if a, you just
first
think
he had
about
a curly
it,
mullet.
Like, what?
He was a redneck, you know?
But think about that. One curl in the front, and then the rest is like a mullet. It's like a curly mullet.
It's funny because like that's supposed to be inspired by the Al Pacino Scarface.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember Scarface ever having like that little
curl
in front.
It was more like
front.
That attitude,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, the machismo, you know, like that Cuban. I guess they had that back. I don't really know how they had it in Miami and stuff like that.
I have seen that hairstyle like in photos, but I don't know the origination of that front curl.
Yeah,
because like I've seen that in like old timey photos,
like in
and somebody needs to bring like that back. Or like Crybaby, doesn't Johnny Depp kind of have that little
piece of hair?
Curled or is it just a piece of hair coming out?
Well, Superman has that too.
Yeah, a little bit. Superman, actually,
no, what do you mean a little bit? That's how his
yeah
whole thing
he does
is.
It, but his isn't as like droopy. His isn't as like
his
down
is,
on
his literally
forehead.
A curl. His is literally a curl.
His, like, from what I know, isn't like as going down on the forehead as Razor Ramon is, but it's more like up.
It
like not really invading the forehead as much, I guess.
Yeah, it's like sort of a ducktail.
Yeah.
I think it all derives from like that ducktail look, like that. I mean, Joe Strummer had that too. His like the major curl. I don't even know how
curl.
They do that. Like I want to try to do that,
actually,
but it's like a wave.
Actually, you should try it.
But my hair is cut differently to
well,
do that.
Well, I think you might have to bring out the curling iron.
It's like my hair. Also, their hair is a little bit.
Also, how did they get that naturally like that every day? You know dang well they're probably using hair, like some type of hair tools that they wouldn't want to acknowledge.
I have no idea.
I feel like you would have to like do that every day. Like the Hasidic Jews that curl the sides of their hair.
They just like, but they keep a curl in there the whole, when they go to bed.
Is that what they do?
That seems like the only logical way to
well,
do that.
It seems like from what I gather, I'm not like an expert on their culture, but just by looking at the type of curl it is, it really does seem like it's a curling iron. Because curling iron, like from what I can tell, I mean, I own a curling iron, and my experience with it is that it makes a distinctive type of curl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of like the, you know, the Hasidic Jew type curl.
They have their own curl.
Yeah.
The Make-A-Wish stance and now the
like
Hasidic Jew curl.
You can kind of tell, like, more natural curls versus, like, if you curled it using a curling iron.
What's the more natural curl? Because is that a little messy?
A little bit messy. like, it kind of just, like, falls more naturally. Versus, like, if you see somebody who's, like, all done up, you kind of real, and, like, all their curls are, like, more perfect, I guess.
What's the rest of their haircut like? Is it just shaved?
Which?
The Hasidic Jew?
I think they, yeah, the rest of it's, like, shaved, and then they wear that thing on the top of their head. Which I wish I knew what that was called, but.
So they just grow that one part and their beard?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know, like, I don't know the origins of it. I'm actually kind of curious to know what that's all about. Because, like, think about that style.
I'm actually curious about what the whole entire thing is about. Do you know a lot about Hasidic Jews?
Well, like, I know the whole talked lifestyle. About
is that,
it.
Is that equivalent to a, what's the other one with those people who make butter?
Amish?
Yeah. Is that equivalent to that?
No, not necessarily.
Like, I don't mean that by disrespect, but I just have no clue.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because, like, Hasidic Jews, I think, can drive cars and stuff. Amish, basically, you can't do any technology.
Do they make good products? Because I always see like late night commercials saying like Amish brand butter or something like that. Or they're,
well, if they're doing commercials and advertising, I don't know. Well, if maybe that's someone, like the Amish.
Yeah, but maybe
that.
Maybe I don't know if that's the Amish.
They would
but
be
the,
against TV and stuff.
But like the marketer, whoever's marketing those products, are the ones taking that away from, like, you know, they're using. They're like, oh, you guys make good
yeah,
butter. Let me
see.
Make
that's
some
kind
money
of questionable.
It.
And I've never seen those late night ads advertising the Amish products.
Well, they don't. It's not no. It's not. It's not like Amish made, but they mention it's like, oh, made by
know, the Amish.
Like the Amish cabinets and stuff like that. Like they
see,
they
I don't know exactly what that's all about, because like I said, they're against technology. I don't see the Amish people advertising like that. What I know about the Amish is basically like everything is horse and buggy. Like
what the hell is
they're
buggy?
Like buggy, like you ride a horse in. You know, like in Central Park when they have like where you ride on a horse and they have like a little wagon. Like that's
yeah.
a buggy thing.
Okay.
Like, you know those romantic rides or whatever they try to sell you.
Yeah.
But then, like, with the Amish, that's their car.
But have they broken... Do they have a certain hairstyle?
I'm not sure. But I know they wear, like, bonnets and stuff like that and hats.
Like,
but I don't know... I don't know
like Quakers.
If they have... Yeah, kind of like Quakers. But I don't know if the Amish has, like, a required hairstyle. But it seems like with the Hasidic Jew, it's almost like... You know, I'm interested in knowing, like, how they style their hair and, like, why is it like that? You know, like, what's the point of having the two curls like that? Like, where did that originate
what about,
from?
What do the women have? Do they have curls on the side, too?
I'm not quite sure. I think that they wear bonnets, but I don't know for sure. Or they
so
wear
the
some
Amish,
type of...
Amish and the... And them. And Amish and the Hasidic Jew wear bonnets.
I think so, but I'm not sure. Actually, I want to study on this, so I might get back to you next week.
So do the women? Do you know if the women, like, are they allowed to, like, look, like, do they, how do they usually present themselves? Because that makes me wonder.
Pretty conservatively, like,
what does
you
that
know,
mean?
Like, they would wear an
if
a dress
ever, if there's ever
that
one
covers
that,
most of the skin.
If there's ever one that looks incredibly hot, do they try to, like, hold them down or kick them out or anything like that?
I don't know. I've never gotten so close to their community to find
to
out.
See, like, to find the hot one? It's like,
yeah.
Where's the hot one?
I mean, I don't. I think they don't really view stuff like that. But I know that the Amish about 6 months ago started having crimes in their community.
Really?
Yeah. And what would happen was
Amish crimes.
Yeah, and like I guess there were like small gang segments, and they would ring the doorbell and then cut the guy's beard real quick and then run away.
How do they cut
like,
it real fast?
I don't know. I guess they like hold him down or something and then cut it and then run away.
Is that like
but that's
a shame?
Like, that's like a
shame?
Disrespect. Because also, like, think about it. If you're growing out your beard that long, and that's, like a way of, like...
A symbolism of manhood,
it's a symbolism
right?
of, like, you know... I guess, you know, it requires a long time to grow it out, and it's basically a very symbolic... I don't know exactly what the meaning is, but it's a symbol of something.
Yeah.
And to cut it, it's, like, major disrespect. And that was going on in the Amish community. And I also have heard... That once the Amish reach a certain age, I'm making this up, maybe it's 18 or so, like when they start to grow up,
yeah.
you know, become an adult type thing, they get an opportunity to take 1 year and not be Amish and see if they like it or not. And if they like it, they can choose to leave the Amish community.
If they don't like it, they choose to leave, right? Or they do like it, they'd stay?
If they like, you know, living outside of the Amish culture, they have the opportunity to leave. But I think there might be repercussions with that. You know, obviously, it's kind of like, oh, you're out of our
family. That means like, the hitmen are going to come back and they're like, you betrayed us. Or they could.
You know, I mean, obviously, they probably might get some backlash.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they do get that opportunity, but then it's like, but there might be repercussions.
You make it sound like that. They're like, yeah, but don't bother coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it might be like that. I don't know. I don't.
It's like once you're in, you're in. You can't, you know, can't just turn your back on them.
And also, that's a good perspective because there's something that I was thinking about this week, not related to the Amish, but it does kind of relate. Now, for example, let's say you have a group of people that you just happen to meet, you know, or like you're kind of, you know, trying to feel out the friendship level, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not like you've been friends since, like, forever, and you're like, oh, we're best buds.
So it's the beginning stages of a possible friendship.
Of getting to know somebody and, like...
And choosing whether they should be friend territory of just, or just acquaintance.
Yeah, or, like, you're digging them and everything.
You're digging them?
Yeah, or, yeah.
What do you mean you're digging them?
Everything's going good. Like, you like them based on what you know of them, but it's still, like, in the infancy stages, you know?
The feeling out process.
Yeah, and so basically, the thing is like, what I've noticed with people these days, it's kind of like, okay, everyone's fine, everyone asks you to be their friend and all, but then, like let's say if you can't make it one time, you're out of the club.
Yeah, it's like, zero tolerance policy there.
It's kind of like, not like I'm saying that's like the Amish, but what I've noticed recently with a lot of people, it's kind of like, oh yeah, everything's great, we're hanging out, blah, blah, blah. Oh man, hey, I'm having a party in 2 hours, can you make it? And we're like, oh, I already had plans that day. And then, sorry, I can't make it, but maybe next time. And then you, like, never hear back about it next time.
Because probably what happens is the other people that go to that party, they all have, like, a great time, and they're all talking about it, like, the next day. Like, the awesome stories, like, oh, did you go to Johnny's party yesterday? Oh, you didn't make it? And because now you're, because now everyone's going to experience something as a group.
Yeah.
It's sort of it's something that sort of similar happens in my work, like in when you're making films and or you know you're working on projects and stuff like that. People who are like, oh, no, I can't do it. They miss out on that experience, so it's almost like the train already left.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And all these inside jokes is like, remember when he almost shocked himself, and he's like on the ladder while setting up for shot number two, and everyone's all like, or the people who didn't go on the shoot, they're like, I have no idea. So there's that connection that gets lost there. And also, the better that party or the better that moment is, the more you're going to get lost. Because now that person's already grown with other relationships and new moments.
So basically, like, on one hand, I understand that. But then on the other hand, it's kind of like, man, so basically, if you, like, miss out on one thing, you're gone forever.
I think that's how it is. Like, I feel like that's how life is. Like, the life is a bunch of trains that are moving all at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to hop on, you know, and you got to hop on to these moments because sometimes the train will somehow go in a different direction. You will never be able to hop on that other train.
It's just amazing,
again.
Though, because it's like, oh, you miss out on one thing, you know, and let's say it's like a genuine miss out. And it's gone forever. Isn't that amazing, though?
That's what is amazing about life. That's why people who, you know, I was thinking about this morning. I was like, well, I can easily just, you know, of course, majority of the days I don't really... Or any human person's like, I just feel like staying in this bed, you know?
Yeah.
And imagine if you just stayed in bed.
After a while, though.
No, but I'm saying is imagine on that day you would just stay in bed and just forget all the stuff that you're supposed to do. Or instead of going out, think of all the stuff you can miss. Think of all the opportunities or all the excitement or the possibility of things. Maybe something might not happen, but you could actually make things happen. But a person who just stays static, it's just like water, you know? If you're just stuck in a pond... You know what I mean? And you didn't break free from that pond, you'll just rot.
Exactly. And also, something that I actually think about, you know, not super often, but quite often, like maybe twice a year, I think about this, is like my parents getting together, you know, back a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think about, like, first of all, my parents actually met at a ski club event.
A ski club?
Which is interesting because I'm like, they didn't ski.
They don't ski at all.
They don't ski at all. I've never heard them ever, like, even talk about skiing, and they've never taken me skiing, and, like, they just don't ski.
Yeah.
And I just think it's interesting because apparently, I guess back then, you know how, like, there's, even nowadays, it's like, where are you supposed to meet people?
Yeah.
You know? And they both were like, oh, I'm going to go to the ski club. I mean, I don't know. That was the thing, I guess, back in the day. And that's how they met each other, at a ski club party. And I think it was actually, I might want to double check on this, but I think it was a St. Patrick's Day ski club party.
Cool.
Like St. Patrick's Day theme. And like, sometimes I wonder about that because I'm like, first of all, in my head, I'm like, what are, like, if you know my parents, I'm kind of like, what the hell would they be doing at a ski club? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what? Like, two people that, like, would never ski.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing there? And then they're like, oh, we did it just to meet people. And like, I mean, that makes sense, but I'm like, what? Ski club. First of all, there's that. And then second of all, I'm like, what if that day one of them was like, oh, I don't really feel like going to ski club.
Exactly.
So what if that day never happened and then my parents would have never met and I would have never been born, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta fight the urge to just, you know, I understand when you're like really, really super dead tired and you're sick. But every day I feel like a person should be able to get up and make progress and do something. So like even in college, like that's one of the first lessons I learned in college, real life lesson, is that so many people will flake out because they're just tired. I'm still learning that lesson today, that like, you know, you want to know, you know, if you want to test if a person is serious about doing something, if you know, ask them to do something. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, let's go make this film. Cool. You want to have a photo shoot? Cool. Let's do this. All right. When do you want to do it? And then you set a date and let's see if they actually follow through. And it's tough. Or if you know, like even in college, I was like, cool, I need your help with this, man. Can you help me Sunday morning? And then Sunday morning comes along, like you get a call and like, oh, I'm sleepy, man. I'm tired. Okay, sorry about that. And they don't understand how important it was for you. But they could easily just toss it off.
Yeah, like there's times when you're genuinely sick or like recovering,
yeah,
or something
exactly.
like that.
But if you know they're just sitting on their ass and they're just like, oh, I don't know.
Few people that I do know of that like several times there was an opportunity that presented itself and then it's like the same thing every time. It's like, oh, I'm sick. I'm not really feeling that good. And I'm like, what? How many times are you sick a year?
I remember we're Brian
you
and
sick
I
sick all the time or something.
I remember Brian and I were and Jake were working at the not ESPN but ABC, working with ABC on like a football working the crew on football, and we like the producers needed like more crew, and we're like, we know some people, you know, and this is like a great opportunity. I feel like that they could have, you know, joined us in the ranks and, you know, gotten paid and worked on national television, stuff like that, you know, and they knew that. And I traveled several hours to go down there while they had to travel 45 minutes. And so when it was time for like, you know, crew call and then roll call to see where all the places were, their name, you know, we realized they didn't show up. And for one thing, it looks bad on us because we're the ones who gave them that opportunity, gave them that name, and they never showed up. So we were calling them. I called them up, and I woke up one of the guys, and he was like, and I was like, where are you, man? I thought you said you're gonna do that, and like he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm tired. It's already too late for me to go down there anyway. I'm like, are you sure? He can still have you up. You know what I mean? Like, you have an opportunity. We're not gonna be mad if you don't show up. This is. You know, it's $350 bucks, man. Why not? It's like, oh, sorry, I already planned to do something else. I was like, what? You already planned to do something else? You said already that you can do this job, you know? And then, you know, it's like
the truth comes out.
It's that sort of like caring, like lack, you know, like you go through school, right? And you have all these other, I went to VCU film photography, and it's always interesting to see who's still doing it. Because the people who still want to do that job wake up every day and they're like, I want to do that job. And of course, sometimes I'll be tired. But you know, you'll hustle and you'll get there. And it that type of person felt like to me, it was like, man, he didn't really care about it anyway. You know, I mean, I was trying to give him opportunity and they just wasted it. So at that moment after that, I turned to Jake and I was like, and he was like, never again, man. We're not gonna hire him for anything else again.
So that's like zero never again.
Yeah,
thing.
That's a zero tolerance. That was the moment that
they
happened.
Didn't show up for
because
the party.
It looked bad. It looked bad on us. Because we were like, oh, we're gonna, yeah, we'll hook you up with all these names. You know what I mean? That they really needed them. And all these people who said they can do it, they never freaking showed up. And then after, you know, I turned to Jake and I was like, dude, that's screwed up. It's like, why would I, in my head, the first thing I said was like, why would I ever hire this guy again? You know what I mean? I needed him there. He said he can do it. He didn't show up. And I called him up. He's lazy. Why would I hire him ever again? Why give him a second chance when there's another guy that would wake up and immediately go? And you know what? They found those people. Like, there are people that already were like, cool, I'll do it. Let's go. You know what I mean? Missed opportunity. Could have made $350 bucks. Now, the thing is, of course, we didn't tell them how much you're making, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It does matter, but you know you're getting paid to a certain... You're getting free food, blah, 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 Nash. You know, but either way, it sort of just looks... You know, that's where I gained that zero tolerance sort of thing. It's like, well, you let me down. I'm not... Why do I... I give everyone one chance at this point. Unless, like, they're...
At least with that, though, they already said that they would be there.
No, yeah, they
it's
told
It's not like you
everyone.
Called them up and was like, oh, hey, I'm having a party in 2 hours, be there. And then if you're not there... Because you already have plans.
I don't freaking forgive people that flake
out on me.
But they
already committed to you.
Yeah, anyone who's like, I don't give a fuck what happened. I mean, yeah, if it's a family matter, yeah, that's understandable. But like people who flake out like the last possible minute, like we've had that even with models as recently as the photo shoot we had 2 weeks ago. We had models that just flake out. And we're like, well, you're getting paid and they don't answer the phone and we have, you know, they have all the contact. It's like, well... Fuck you. We're not calling you ever again. No, we don't say that, but in our heads,
yeah.
I feel like that's like, well, you probably just screwed me over. Like you literally, like you did an offense to me by not telling me in advance, by doing any of that, and it's very unprofessional. Why am I gonna hire you again?
Never again.
Even if you become the most famous people. Like I've had other people that have showed up like 2 hours late for a shoot and we only booked 3 hours in the studio. It's like, well, we have an hour, 30 minutes for makeup. It's like, you just sort of screwed me over here. You know what I mean? It's sort of like those things you never forget. And that's why I stick with my hair cutter, because, you know, she's never, you know, she hasn't done wrong. We trust. There's a lot of trust there. That's why I feel like there's trust. So I have to go over there. I would, you know, even though it's hard to line it up, but like, you know, I'm willing to take that time.
If I can remember for next week's show, I'm going to study up on Hasidic Jews and get back to you about their hair. Because I want to know, man. I want to know what that looks all about.
I don't know what that look is all about. It had to have been...
Like, I want to know where it originated.
It looks pretty cool if you think about it. It's pretty... If you look at it in the right light, it's a pretty pimp look. But it's
it's interesting. I don't know if I'm going to say...
But the fact that there's like... That they all... But the fact that they... If you were just to see one person that was like that and he totally owned it, you'd be like, that guy's the shit. But once you see like 50 other people, you're like, wait a minute, this is a cult? What is this? Is this a religion?
They all have to look like that.
Yeah.
It is a religion. It's a segment of the Judaism.
There's a lot of religions that have a lot to do with like not cutting hair. Or like the growth of hair or types
of
like
it's kind of interesting how it's like depends on a physical look.
You got Rastafarian, you got like the Indian, they have some Indian religions where you don't cut your hair.
Middle Eastern
hippies. It's like there's a little, it's like I didn't like hair is such a powerful thing, you know what
the
I mean?
The more I think about it, hair is a powerful thing.
You know, Funk Soul Brother, you have fros and stuff like that.
And then with guys you can do different things with your beard and stuff.
Yeah.
See, with women, you just have your hair. It's pretty crazy.
That's not
though.
True. Everyone they always got snatch hair they can design.
Yeah, but not everyone. You can't show that to everybody. You can't show that around.
Yeah, but that's more like a package that you're like, oh wow, or at least
no,
forever.
No, that's I don't.
Not I mean not around
that.
Other people.
I don't really consider that like a fashion statement in terms of like.
Oh, it's a fashion statement now.
No.
There's all styles that go throughout the years.
Remember when like Julia Roberts showed up at one of the. Like, I don't know if it was the Oscars, but some award show, and she didn't shave her armpits.
Oh, my God.
It was a long
time
ago.
When was that? I don't remember that, but I remember that.
And it was Julia Roberts, too. And everyone's like, oh, my God, it's Julia Roberts.
I thought she was taking a feminist stance or something like that.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that look, but it's
I'm not a big fan of that look either, on women specifically.
But it's, like, it's almost like... Man, if you're Julia Roberts, though, you know
you got
what I
you
mean?
Got something to uphold.
Like it's like
a status.
It's like wow, she forgot to shave her armpits for three weeks.
Did she forget?
I don't know, but it was like three weeks worth of growth.
I gotta look at that. What were people saying? They're like, oh my God, I'm not gonna hire her ever again. Zero tolerance.
No, she got that was like she's had a big career after that.
Really? Did she?
Yeah.
What did she
do? Well, I mean, it probably happened after Pretty Woman, but then, like, since then, she's had a whole bunch of movies, like Erin Brockovich.
But was that, when was this, the hair incident?
It was a long time ago. I think it was, like, before Erin Brockovich.
Oh, okay.
And she's had movies since then. I mean, obviously her breakout one was Pretty Woman, so it happened after
Pretty
Woman.
I'm still not sold. I mean, Julia Roberts, maybe because I guess it's not my...
I mean, she's not my favorite actress, but I still, like,
it's not even...
you know, she's a big name, you know? At that point, you're just like, wow. She didn't shave?
Even look-wise, or even just... I don't know. That just doesn't do it for me.
That's fine.
But what I'm saying is that, like...
Oh, she also even had a conspiracy theory with Mel Gibson.
I don't know. There's just something that's just not as tantalizing from her.
I think she she's more of like a woman's actress. You know, like, I don't really see
she's
guys...
She's more of a woman's actress?
Well,
what does that
really
mean?
Well, I don't really see guys, like, fawn over her as much. Like, obviously, she's a pretty lady. But
that's
saying,
not obvious.
Well, I'm not going to trash her look. What I'm saying is that, like, you know, with some actresses, there's a lot of, like, guys that really like them. For example,
I'm going to say that she's overrated.
For example,
besides Pretty Woman, what has she done?
Conspiracy Theory.
No, that doesn't...
Aaron
what is
Brockovich,
that?
Valentine's Day. I don't know.
Oceans 11 through 13.
Oh, yeah, she did Oceans. What else has she done? I mean, really, if you take away Pretty Woman... The other movies are like,
I think she's based off of the Planet Hollywood celebrity times.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely like, I don't know. Oh, isn't
she?
She's going to be, I never saw Aaron Brockovich, but I heard
that's Steven Soderbergh.
I heard that she won some stuff. And
Steven
like
Soderbergh can give people good performances because he really just lets them act.
Actually, Julia Roberts is supposed to be in a new Snow White. She's supposed to be like an evil queen or something.
Of course she is.
Okay, now, what was I getting at? Okay, see, I think that there's actresses that are for, like, guys, and then, like, guys really like them. For example, Cameron Diaz. I don't think girls dislike Cameron Diaz, but I think a lot of guys like Cameron Diaz. Like, she gets the guy vote.
Well, she gets, because she was a model and she shakes her ass, she gets it on looks, but probably not on quality. Because, like, usually for me, with Cameron Diaz, she gets annoying. Like, Cameron Diaz literally got really annoying, like, during the time where she was running with the what was that movie with the everyone?
Charlie's Angels?
No, there's the other one where she had the stuff stuck in her hair.
Oh, There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, during that There's Something About Mary where she was hitting hard the comedy time.
Yeah,
like it's fun, but some, you know, the comedy people will get really annoying, and then after a while they have to be totally full of themselves and got really annoying. Like,
but,
when she was all about just shaking her ass, and then she started becoming really unattractive to me for some reason. Nothing wrong with her, though. Nothing wrong. I've seen her do some really amazing performances.
And I feel like
she was awesome in The Mask.
And I feel like there's, like, for example, like, Julia Roberts, to me, it feels like she's, like, a woman's-based actress. Like, a lot of women look up to her and be like, oh, she's great. But then,
Better than Cate Blanchett, who, like, I think is, like, probably the best female actress out there.
I think Cate Blanchett gets more, like, actor chops, like, in general.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, she gets more respect as an actual craft of acting.
Isn't that what we're talking about? You said, like, oh, the actor.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's more physical or appearance-driven.
Like, I mean, Cate Blanchett looks awesome, can play a guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can play a spy. Cate Blanchett can play a... Cate Blanchett is, for me,
but
for my money...
But she gets more actor chops, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but she's also pretty hot, you know? But she's just... What is the... I can see no wrong in Cate Blanchett. She has done nothing wrong. She was in The Gift. She was the queen. She was an Indiana Jones.
Or for example,
she played herself and her cousin in 200 Cigarettes.
To me, like, for example, Sarah Jessica Parker, she's like a woman's actress. You know, like all the women
because they
are
relate
like,
to
oh,
her, because
I
they
like
relate
her.
To her. Didn't we think of a theory of that? We're like,
yeah,
oh,
they
she's...
relate to her because she's like, she's not so pretty, but they can relate to her because she's
they
not
think,
so pretty.
Because they think they're not so pretty.
Yeah. So it's like, but she's not like ugly horribly, but she's, you know, she, to me, you know, I don't like judging people's looks necessarily, but she, to me, like, I'm not attracted to Sarah Jessica Parker.
I don't like, it's funny you say Sarah Jessica Parker, because out of all the votes or all the girls I've spoken to, they really don't like her look at all.
I think it might be an older generation,
most likely the Sex and the City generation.
Yeah, like an older woman, a little bit, maybe women in their 40s. They might appreciate Sarah Jessica Parker. Because
I know my mother. my mom likes her. She's like, oh, that's Sarah Jessica Parker. You know?
And I think that she fits within. I mean, that generation, a little bit older, but she still fits, you know, within that.
Yeah.
And so, Sarah Jessica Parker is appealing to a middle-aged woman. And it's a little different, but I can still see that perspective. Because once you get to be a little bit older, you're gonna relate to that more than like Britney Spears or something, or Katy Perry or
Cate Blanchett's
like that,
awesome.
But I do think that there are certain segments of actors that appeal to men or women more.
You know what really, so. You know what really sold me on Kate Blanchett was when she played Bob Dylan. After that, I was like, okay, she won. She's probably the best actress I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, yeah, like, I mean, she gets extra actress bonus points. Like, okay, what about from a guy's perspective? Is there, like, a guy's actor, and then, like, there's, like...
Yeah.
You know, like,
there's
that
a,
type
there's
of thing.
There's a guy's actor. Then, his name is Christian Bale.
And Christian Bale is, like, the guy's actor.
Like, there, like, I can see nothing wrong with Christian Bale. I can, yeah. like, I mean, there's obvious things, probably, but, like, as, like, an actor,
like,
he's
guys
awesome.
Can relate to him
He's
more.
An awesome actor. He's been all the cool people.
And then on the other side of that is there's a guy's actor that men realize are good as actors just because women like them. Like, for example,
they're
like,
good actors
the
just
Twilight
because...
guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, when men look at the male actor and
based
they're
on
like,
the guy.
Oh, it's the women like them because of that. Do you see what I'm saying? But from a male
perspective. Probably the guy that takes off his shirt in the Twilight, they're all like, all the girls are like, yeah, I'm like...
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
But it doesn't
like,
mean he's good. That guy's trash. He hasn't proved anything to me.
I don't know. Whatever. There's the
Taylor
guy.
Taylor Lautner?
Yeah, there's a guy that takes off his shirt, and then there's Christian Bale. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there's a guy's actor, and then there's a the actor that's for girls.
Well, Christian Bale has been plenty naked in all of his movies, in a lot of his movies.
But do you see the difference between the Twilight guy that
I'd
takes off his shirt
yeah,
and then
Christian
Bale
Christian
that takes
Bale,
off his shirt?
Yeah, but Christian Bale is 10 times in better shape than the dude that was in a...
But you're also dealing with a 17-year-old versus Christian Bale.
Versus Batman, the ultimate.
Versus Batman.
That guy, Christian Bale. Christian Bale and Christian Bale, but that's what's
Batman
crazy.
Versus 17-year-old with taking off a shirt.
Batman versus werewolf.
Batman versus werewolf.
I forget what the question is, but Christian Bale is better than him.
I'm just saying that there's different levels. Like, there's Kate Blanchett and Sarah Jessica Parker. Both are, like, female actresses that are well-respected in their own right, but there's different versions.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett, Christian Bale, movie stars. Sarah Jessica Parker, TV star. There is a definite, I feel like there's a definite different star rise there.
But don't you see that there's also differences of, like, the relations within the sexes?
I'm trying to still figure out what
like
you're saying.
Like, for example, Sarah Jessica Parker, more women relate to her than men.
Because her show is based
yes,
for women anyway?
Exactly, and that's, okay, Christian Bale, everybody likes him, I guess.
except for whoever the DP who was yelling at.
But then he was like moving stuff in the background, and that was a different
like
thing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I would be mad at that too.
I that's a whole different scenario. We've already.
But that doesn't mean
Kate
Blanchett hasn't yelled at somebody.
Everybody's yelled at somebody at some point.
It's funny when so you're being recorded yelling that all of a sudden you're the bad guy for being mad. I don't like when all of a sudden you're the bad guy for just being mad.
Or like how Mel Gibson got recorded.
Yeah, it's like how. Are we in a society?
But then that lady wasn't that great either.
That lady was a stupid fuck. I hate that lady. You know, like I'm on Mel's side because I saw what she was doing, and she was just, you know, literally trying to take all of his money, use all the, you know, all the stuff, and like I understand.
And he was like giving her money for her record career too.
Yeah, and then she's just trying to extort, and she has no feelings. She's just a dry snatch. You know what I mean?
Did you just call her a dry snatch?
Yes, I called her a dry snatch. I called her snatch fucking wall, sandpaper.
Well, Mel Gibson called me sugar tits.
That's, you know, at least that's sweet. The other one, she's dry. You know what I mean? Rough on the face.
Oh my God. I don't even remember her name. It's some type of Russian.
Sandpaper pussy. That's what you're going to call her from now on. She is now sandpaper pussy. Sandpaper snatch.
Dry snatch.
No, because when I heard that, she's like, no, you want money. No, oh, you listen to me, you stupid bitch. You go out there and you dress like a whore and all this. Oh, you think I'm a whore. I told you. I don't even know if that audio is real.
I did. No, it is real. I listened to it, unfortunately, because somebody played it on the radio when I was driving to work in the morning. So... You know the radio DJ loved that week because they were.
What were we talking about?
What?
What were we talking about? Mel Gibson. Oh
we're
yeah, being,
about actors.
Oh yeah, about being angry.
Perceived.
Yeah, I feel like you can't be if you're a celebrity, you can't be angry. And everyone's like, oh, and then you being angry
because
is
as
bad
soon
thing.
As like you're off your spotlight, your big pedestal. You know, even
just
if you drop down
angry?
One step.
I don't understand.
Oh, speaking of
you can be happy, but you can't be angry in front
of
the camera.
Speaking of an angry celebrity, when we saw Tracy Morgan in New York,
yeah.
he was kind of angry.
Yeah, because he got in an accident.
Yeah,
he had a personal problem.
And then Tracy Morgan always seems to get into those. And I heard this morning that at Sundance Film Festival, he collapsed. And apparently they said that he had no drugs or alcohol in his system and that he had exhaustion mixed with the altitude.
That's probably true then, because that's a high altitude.
Yeah.
And also,
and
if you're
he was exhausted, probably very exhausted because he works hard.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know that Tracy Morgan dropped down or something.
Yeah, but now everyone's going to be like, look at him, he dropped down.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, so I don't know the details, but I can understand the exhaustion. So, like, I can understand, man. I hope he gets rest.
What about the altitude?
I don't know, but I don't never
been
there.
You can't understand the altitude.
I mean, I guess they have... Where is that located?
It's like in the highest...
In the highest peak of all time?
Yeah.
Well, if you're in the highest peak of all time...
Don't you have shorter... You have shorter breath or something over there.
Yeah, maybe that's why he couldn't breathe or something.
I'm not sure. I might be wrong if it's a shorter breath, but...
I don't know, but something happened, and I hope he's doing okay, because you gotta recover from that.
Yeah, gotta get back on 30 Rock.
Yeah. Get back on the mountain, man. But, like...
But I don't understand what... It's like that the... Really, it's only in wrestling where you can, like... That's what I like about wrestling, is that you can have all... You can be a heel and still make money and people, like, be interested. But in, like, real celebrity world, it's like, you can only be
That's
happy
not
and
true.
Smiles.
Charlie Sheen made money from being an idiot and an asshole certain point.
Who was he an idiot to?
Well, he was just acting like an idiot.
Well, how was he acting like an idiot?
I don't know the full details, but wasn't he being all crazy and, like, acting like an asshole? And that was, like, his gimmick? Like, he was being a heel.
Yeah, he was literally being a heel.
And he was making money from being a heel.
Because he was able to do it smartly in today's society.
And people enjoyed it.
Yeah, because in today, so you're
saying... Not anymore, though. Because he, like, I think he went downhill.
It only can last for so long.
But
after a while, the shtick gets old.
That's the one incident of a modern occurrence, if I can relate it to wrestling, of a modern occurrence of a celebrity that went heel and people liked it.
Yeah.
Now, what is another... Like, all the other celebrities that went heel?
I guess
Russell Crowe throwing a phone. Everyone's like, oh, I hate Russell Crowe now. I'm never going to see
him. He threw
movies.
A phone. That son of a bitch. I would never throw a phone in my whole entire life. Even if I was mad.
Even when the Christian Bale thing, there was a couple of people that didn't understand
during the weekend of when Batman... When Dark Knight, he got, like, mad or something like that, too? Like, his mom or something like that?
Yeah, I guess
he has
a temper.
Well, yeah, he has a temper.
I'm just saying that, like...
But is that
the
wrong?
Only person that was able to milk that was Charlie Sheen. I mean,
Here's the thing, is that Charlie Sheen already... He chose the right time to let that out, too. To let it public, because he was already a freaking billionaire.
He had nothing left to lose.
Yeah, he was like, well, fuck y'all. Like, I can work 1 week and make more than... 98% of the whole entire...
And he even had a catchphrase, too. That was pure wrestling.
Yeah.
And I know that... I will say, I was following Charlie Sheen for 1 week on Twitter. I got bored with it, and I stopped following.
Because did he ever tweet?
Yeah, but he would tweet, like, stupid shit, like, oh, yeah, man, I went to the bank today, I'm winning. You know?
Yeah.
Like, winning, you know, like...
That's why,
like,
you gotta Lou Bega that shit. You gotta, like, when you're hot, you gotta get as much as you can.
And he was, and people were buying his shirts that just said, winning, duh, and then had his autograph underneath it. Like, because I saw so many of those shirts, even, like, at Baltimore Comic Con, people were wearing them. Like, it was pretty hot commodity for at least a month or two.
Yeah.
And then he did, like, that tour, kind of like Conan O'Brien did.
Yeah, see, that's smart. You know, they knew it.
I know the first couple dates he played, he got booed, because, like, basically all he did was show videos and stuff. And
yeah,
then people were like, we're paying $1 million for this.
Yeah, they still paid, though.
Paid, but then he had to revving up his show, though, because people weren't going to take it for that long.
You should rev up the show, because that's really live entertainment.
Yeah.
It's a different beast altogether.
Exactly, so whoever his people were had to rev up, you know, his show, and then he got, I guess, better as the more dates he did.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, like, looking back on it now, I did drop off the Charlie Sheen bandwagon, I have to say.
I was never on the Charlie Sheen
bandwagon. You were never on it. I was on it for, like, a week. I mean, I know that's pretty lame of me, but that's what ended up happening, and that is the truth.
You do have a tendency to hop on the bandwagon in certain things and jump off right when you're like, ugh. You're like,
this wasn't as good as I thought it was. Looking back on it now, from a wrestling standpoint, he was a good heel for a week.
Yeah.
And that week I was following him,
but
he was a good heel.
Here's the thing. He was a heel, but he had no face to feud with.
Exactly.
And that's why you couldn't go, like, if it would be awesome if someone else, like, played the face and it was like, Charlie, shut the hell... You know, then they had a feud, and they would milk that all the way up.
Yeah.
That's the key to that. That's the key to longevity. You gotta build... Because after that, what else was he revolting against? You know
the producers.
It's like, oh yeah, he had those porn stars with Brie Olsen and some girls like that, and then they left. You know what I mean? It's after a while, you're just like, come on.
Yeah, that's when I just stopped caring. I was just like,
it would have been awesome if one of those porn stars then turned on him, and then you have a feud there, and then that porn star would have been able to milk off of that.
And then they can milk it, and then like everybody just milks it and uses him.
You should, but that's the way Hollywood is. That's how the way entertainment is. You're just building off of it's the house.
So
we got to capitalize on that. We need to start a feud. Let's start a feud with the MoCast, or because they've been trying. Is that how you pronounce it?
MOKA.
Because I know they've been trying to. I'll start a feud with them. I'll start some beef.
Jigaboos.
What is jigaboos?
And they're gonna listen to this, and then we're gonna be butchered.
How are we gonna be butchered?
I don't know. We'll find out.
No. I will stand up for my show.
I just called them a jigaboos.
I called the whole world jigaboos. Jigaboos. Jigga what? Jigaboos.
So Joe, you mentioned that I like to hop on bandwagons.
Justin Bieber.
So name some bandwagons I've been on.
I don't remember.
Justin Bieber.
We gotta find out. This usually there's some things and you'll drop off out of it.
See, because I like to think of myself as a non-trendy person, and now that we're mentioning some, maybe I am.
Maybe that's something that we have to reevaluate. Or whatever. That's the way you are. Sometimes people are, and then you realize that's not as cool as I thought it was. And that's the way the whole world is.
The thing is, I didn't invest. I didn't invest in Charlie Sheen buying tickets.
Yeah, you didn't spend that.
Getting a t-shirt. I didn't buy Justin Bieber's CD.
You jumped off before it took off. You jumped off before it went too far, you know?
I think that the things I like, though, I really do stick with, and I really do like.
Yeah. And I think that's what's crucial. Like, the things that really resonate, I think people should do that, you know?
But maybe we should talk later about, since you mentioned all of my bandwagons I jump on and jump off.
Well, maybe next time we'll keep a list of that and we'll try to think of, oh yeah, remember this? Oh, remember that? Oh, remember that? That was awesome. And then you can be like, oh, maybe I should jump back on that. Well, that's the show, guys. Another Carolyn and Joe show.
In the can,
wherever you guys want to do
it. On the record.
Thank you all for taking time and sharing your moments and, you know, helping us document our lives and our opinions as we are. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for listening. Go check us out. AstrayProductions.com. We always bring this show to you every week. Curls-Studio.com is our sponsor. And as always, be positive. Catch you later, Carolyn.
Catch you later, everyone.
See ya!